That I am about this topic. I have not had any coffee, so all the excitement is genuine. So all the hype, I should say, is genuine. So I want to start real quick by sharing something interesting. How many of you know life with God, doing life with God is just fun? He has a way of just making things really fun. So we're gonna have some fun this morning. Y'all ready? Okay. So I was talking to God one morning, or actually I hadn't even, I was still in my robe for the morning, and I was trying to decide. I felt like God was like, you know, I had been praying in the days leading up to this class, you know, Lord, show me specifically what needs to be taught for this class, because I have Terry's book that we're going to talk about a little bit today. Terry Savelle wrote this book about making vision boards work for you and what it means to have a vision for your life. But I don't, you know, I know that God may have a very specific way for how he can speak to you about this. And so in praying for that, you know, I was waiting on the Lord to hear what he had to say. And he was like, one morning, he was like, Mario Kart. And I was like, Mario Kart? And he was like, yeah, go. I was like, what about it? And I felt like the Lord wanted me to show me something with related to Mario Kart. And I was like, what are you talking? Is that just me wanting to play that? What is this, you? And he was, yeah, go play Mario Kart. And I was like, okay. Who in here has played Mario Kart? Okay. So this is a Nintendo Switch, the latest game controller. You can play it on here. Mario Kart is, have y'all heard of it? Okay, you familiar? It's a video game. Okay, that's okay. That's okay. It's really simple. Basically, the purpose of the game is you're trying to win a go-kart race. Okay? So it's a go-kart race, and you're in a little car like this. Pretty cute, right? And the purpose is to win the go-kart race by hurling objects at other racers. Okay? So you're hurling things at the other racers. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, you got it now. So you hurl those at the other racers. Yeah.
That movie, whatever it is.
Yeah. And you hurl them at the other racers to slow them down. And then while also grabbing tools that you can find along the track to help you go faster. So this is a mushroom. Mario Kart, you know, saying it out loud, you grow up with it as a kid. You're like, oh, it makes perfect sense. Explaining it out loud, it sounds very strange. Anyway, so you find these along the track, and they give you momentum, so you go faster, okay? And then this little guy, and I found out that his name is Lakitu, and he's basically a fictional little turtle character that Mario Brothers made, and he conducts the race, okay? And he's the one that starts the race, and then as you're going down the track, so you're trying to win the go-kart race, right? And if you get turned around, he's the one that comes along with his fishing pole, and he grabs your car, and he turns you around, and he puts you back on the track, okay? So sometimes where'd the shell go here? Throw it back to me. So sometimes the other racers, who are your opponents in the race, sometimes they'll hurl stuff at you, and when it strikes you, it stuns you, slows you down, and people start passing you by, okay? Sometimes lightning in the game will randomly strike your car and just stun you, and your whole character, little character, he gets even smaller and slows you down. Okay.
Sorry.
Oh, you're fine. It's a small group. You do what you want in here.
That's right.
Okay. So, and on here, you also have buttons that you have to continue to hold this A button down in order to go. If you stop holding down the button, your car will stop. Okay. And then this is for direction. So anyways, once again, the purpose is to win the go-kart race by hurling objects at other racers to slow them down while grabbing tools that you can find along the track to help you go faster. Why am I telling you this? Why did God show me this?
I don't know.
Because some of you are stuck in your past going the wrong way. Okay? Some of you are not moving. You've stopped hitting go. And people are passing you by in life. Now, granted, life is not a race. It's not a competition, but you are called to win in life. You're called to win. And you can get stuck, and you're not hitting go, and people are passing you by, and you don't feel like you're winning, and you're frustrated, okay? And then some of you, you're on the right track. You're thinking, what? You might be thinking right now while I'm talking, I am doing the right stuff. I know I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing in life. Maybe you just need some tools for a little momentum, okay? So the purpose of this class is to turn your car around, okay? He's gonna come pull you out. God is gonna come latch onto your car, turn you around. I believe the purpose of this class is to help you get turned around if you're stuck in your past, to help you hit go if you've gotten stuck and stunned by attack after attack of the enemy, or to simply help you gain momentum. Okay?
Yes.
So I just want to pray real quick that the Lord will begin to show you which one you are. If you're turned around, going the wrong way, stuck in your past. If you're stuck where you are and you don't know how to hit go again because you've been hit by the enemy, hit by life so many times. Or if you simply need to gain momentum, okay? So yes. Let's just pray real quick. Heavenly Father, I thank you that by the sound of my voice, Holy Spirit, you're saying through me exactly what needs to be said to this group. I pray that you would turn us around, get us back on the track, help us to gain momentum in the right direction, and keep us hitting go, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Father, for giving this group of women that are so precious to you. I thank you, you're giving us new momentum in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so bear with me here. You need a vision for your life. You need a vision for your life. And we're going to talk about why. But first, I would like to start with doing a book giveaway. Did everyone put your name in the bag for the book? And our group is small, so your chance of winning is real high.
Yeah.
Okay. So this first book I want to talk about, Declutter Your Way to Success, there is so much power, and I'm sure that you may have heard on talk shows or in different people talking about it in the past, there is so much power in cleaning up your space. And I know that sounds cliche, we hear KonMari or whatever, you know, KonMari method, you know, if it doesn't spark joy, throw it out, you know, but this is powerful.
Yes.
This is powerful. You want to talk about mental clarity and peace, you need this book. This book has personally helped me so much. And if you're a perfectionist like me, I think you're a little bit perfectionist like me, you can get stuck in a project and get overwhelmed and get stagnant, but the Lord will just begin to show you how to adequately organize your space so your space is clean, and psychologically that helps you. Your mind is open and the Lord can begin to speak to you and show you ideas for your future. That's huge. So I'd like to do a drawing real quick for two people to get this book because it's a good one. Okay, so our first winner. They're
just
together. That one's blank.
Okay.
Here,
give it to me.
Okay. Brenda.
Woohoo!
Okay. There you go, man. Uh-huh. Declutter Your Way to Success.
Can we do something? I actually got this book last year after the class.
Sure.
I have a copy of it, and I love it. Can we re-gift it?
Absolutely.
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
Time.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. Okay. Okay. So then we're still two people in the running. That one's also blank.
I don't know how that works.
I'll put Julie in. What would you for the next one, Julie?
Judy.
Oh, you put my
Judy!
There you go, Judy.
This must be like the lucky place right here.
Which Brenda's going to give hers away, it sounds like. So.
Doesn't have anything to do with the fact that we were the
winners. That's funny. Yeah, all the names say Brenda or Judy.
Okay, are we doing another drawing or Brenda's just going to give hers away?
You can do another. It's however you want to do it.
Okay.
You want to draw another
one? Yeah, we'll draw another
one.
Hi, Nellie.
Yes.
She can do one of the blank ones.
Yeah. Okay. If it's... Here, let me do this. Here. We'll work. Okay. Okay, here we go. Here, you draw it.
I'm going to draw it? Okay.
Here we go. For declutter your way to success.
This one is Julie.
Oh, honey, yay, it's meant to be yours. But if you don't win a book here today and you want to know where to find it, I can tell you exactly where to go. And they're easy reads too. You know, I'm just now getting back into reading more books, but I got away from reading for quite a while. I was like, I don't feel like it. But they're easy reads. So, okay. Why do you need a vision for your life? God loves you very much. I believe a lot of you in this group already know that. That God loves you and cares about you deeply. But he has something unique for you to offer the world. He has something wonderful and unique that only you can do. And it seems like we get caught up in mediocrity and we get caught up, you know, we're not the celebrities and different people we see with these just wildly, outrageously amazing talents. And we think they're the only ones that can truly offer something unique to the world, but you have something to offer. And it's amazing in just the time that I've had as our church has grown and talking to different women in between services. I was talking to Debbie the other day, and she was telling me about this unique ministry that she has a heart for. And as she was telling it to me, she was like, I want to help elderly people in this way. And I remember thinking, I would have never thought of that. I would have never thought of that. And Julie and I were actually, it was an odd start to 2020. I felt like, oh, this is going to be an amazing year. We actually started off the year, she and I were in Oklahoma for a funeral for my father-in-law's sister. And funerals, as sad as they can be, they always give you perspective, right? They always give you perspective on, what am I doing with my time? We only have so much time. It sounds morbid, but it's true. What are we doing with our time? And they had the preacher that was conducting the service did just a beautiful job. And he had a time where people could come up and share things that they loved in knowing Connie, things that were special to them about Connie. And one thing that she said that was just so precious, oops, that I didn't know about her, was she used to knit. She loved to knit. Loved to knit. And she would knit little baby booties, and people would come in and their baby would get their first haircut, and she would like cut their first lock of hair, right, Julie, and give them the lock of hair, and she would give them those baby booties. And this man stood up and talked about how he was like, yeah, baby two and baby three weren't planned, but they passed those baby booties on to each child. Isn't that precious? Isn't that something unique and special that she did for people that they remembered? What do you want to be remembered for? What do you want to be remembered for? And we think, oh, well, I don't have anything significant to offer. That right there is where you need to start. You need to start by changing your thinking. What I love about this garland, and Robbie, if you're listening, are we recording?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Robbie, you did amazing. You would have laughed at me if you were here to see me trying to hang this thing. But my friend Robbie Cowan, or Robbie, what's her married name now?
Carmine.
She created this. She's so creative. But I told her, I said, and I'm so thankful to her for, and thank you so much to all the women, Brenda, Judy, Mom, thank you so much for helping put this together this morning. Huge help. Thank you so much. And thank you to Robbie if you're listening. But I told Robbie, I said, I want some color in this room. I want color. I want vivid color up here. And you know why? Because we think about the rainbow and we think about, oh, we always think all the colors look pretty together. But you are life-giving green, and you are peaceful, serene blue, and you are passionate red, and you are mystical, mysterious, awesome, quirky purple, and you are fun pink, and vibrant orange, and bright, lively yellow. You, as an individual, are special to God. I love all these colors together, but we tend to forget that you individually are amazing. And if someone hasn't told you that in a long time, then you need to know it today. You have something wonderful to offer this world, and it's important that we start dreaming with God so we can find out what that is. I think, I'm not a mother yet. I'm believing God for that. But for you in here that are mothers, grandmothers, aunts, sisters, wives, friends, co-workers, employees, employers, we get wrapped up in those roles. And I think women are tough, right? Women are tough, and we know how to support the men in our life. We know how to support the different people in our life. And I think sometimes our dreams, our goals, the things that are unique and wonderful about us can sometimes get put to the side, get buried beneath obligations, responsibilities, but you are important, and what you desire in life is important. You as the individual, not your dreams for your as a family unit or as a friend or as an organization, but you as the individual. Psalm 139, 13 through 16, if you're taking notes, Psalm 139, 13 through 16 says, "Oh yes, you shaped me first inside, then out. You formed me in my mother's womb. I thank you, high God, you're breathtaking. Body and soul, I am marvelously made." Marvelously made. So if God sees you as incredible and marvelous, why aren't we telling ourselves that we're marvelous? Why aren't we telling ourselves that? Another reason, so that's reason number one. God has something unique. God loves you, has something unique to offer, for you to offer to the world. The second reason you need a vision for your life, you must make the most of your time, like I was talking about earlier. God did not call us to just drift through life. I hate these t-shirts. And I used to laugh. I used to be, you know, Terry Savelle, the author of this Dream It, Pin It, Live It book, and the author of Declutter Your Way to Success. One thing that she said, the Lord that jump-started her ministry was praying to the Lord for change, and he said, "You don't be average, and your life won't be average." That sounds kind of dumb, but it's not. It's very powerful, because it sounds kind of redundant, like, well, I guess if I'm not average, my life won't be average. But it's true. Think about that for a second. You don't be average. Your life won't be average. The average person is okay with saying phrases like, and wearing t-shirts with phrases like, "Oh, the struggle is real," or, "Oh, I can't function without my coffee," and all these phrases, and, "Oh, I'm bad at Mondays." Those are harmful phrases. Those are phrases we need to get out of our vocabulary.
Yeah, amen.
Those are things that's going above the average. That's me not being average, thus my life won't be average, but getting away from the average phrases, the average thinking that is all over our t-shirts, all on social media, all around us in ads, all in the grocery store and everywhere we go, "Oh, the struggle is real." Let's get those phrases out of our thinking. Let's get those phrases out of our mouth. We need to make the most use of our time. Ephesians 5:17 in the Message translation says, "Don't live carelessly, unthinkingly. Make sure you understand what the Master wants." Who's the Master? We know it's Jesus. Let's make sure we understand what he wants. If you were to get in the car with me, and you were to see, as the passenger, not you the driver, but if I'm driving and you sit in the car with me and you go, "Oh, where are we going?" And I said, "I don't know, we'll just see." You'd be like, "What?" And I'd be like, "Let's just see where the car takes us." What would you think? You think I'm wasting your time, right? You'd be like, "I think I'm going to get out of the car and you just do your thing," right? Because that's a waste of time. You don't get in the car without knowing where you're headed. Right? So life already has us on the track. God's funny, isn't he? It was weirdest metaphor ever. God already has us on the track in our go-kart.
I see baby toys already for that baby you're going to
have. Thank you. I received that. Maybe this will be the first one. I bought it used on Amazon for this. But you would expect me to know what the destination was, right? We need to have the end destination in mind, know how much gas we need to get there, know how long it's going to take us to get there, and then create our route, right? Our Google Maps on our phone will do it for us, praise God. You know, so a driver has an end destination, plans the route, and doesn't get distracted, unless it's Target. Target's always a good distraction. Anyways, just kidding. But in the end, right, we meet detours, right? Life has its detours. But if we hit a detour, we just take a different way, you know? But we don't give up on getting to that end destination. But you need a vision. You need to know where you're going. So how do we do that? How do we clarify our vision? Over and over, the one thing in praying for this class, "What do you want me to say, Lord? What needs to be said here today?" He said, "It's time to dream again. It's time to dream again. It's time for each and every one of you to dream again. I don't care if you're 5 or you're 95. There's something awesome for you to do. There's something awesome that God wants you to do. And we need to get excited about that. Excited about that. What dreams in your heart have been forgotten? What dreams got set aside because of life's responsibilities, obligations, or detours? Since we were talking about the driver in the car, detours. Some dreams, you know, like I said earlier, get buried beneath responsibilities, maybe even past disappointments. Something didn't work out. Something awful happened. Something caused us to become cynical and not want to dream anymore. But you do need to, you need to clarify your vision, because you need to start thinking about, what do I hope to accomplish in 2020? Where do you see yourself going in the next 5 years? These are important questions to ask yourself, or maybe, just maybe, this year might end up being a repeat of your previous year. You may not see a significant change from last year to this year, right? Because, and I don't recall the exact statistic right now, but the statistic is incredibly high for people to give up on their New Year's resolutions in January. Not even, they don't even make it to the third week of January. Hmm. What does that tell you? Our resolve, our determination to carry out our New Year's resolutions wanes, fades. Why is that? We need clarity of vision. Okay? So, take the first steps. Real easy. I got two steps for you. Spend some time with God. Take some time to dream. As you spend time with God, meditate on promises like Jeremiah 29:11. We all know it, right? I think I have it in the message for you today. Jeremiah 29:11. I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not to abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. The Message translation says the future you hope for. I think sometimes we somehow, and I don't know where, I believe this is the devil sneaking in like that serpent, as he's described in the Garden of Eden, that he sneaks in and has somehow convinced Christians, I think a lot of times Christian women, as the supporters and caretakers upholding our family's homes and supporters of the people in our life, he's convinced us that our dreams are not important. Our individual, I'm not talking about dreams to pay off, you know, a debt for your children or taking, I'm talking about you. Because starting with you affects everybody in your life, right? This isn't selfish this morning. This is important. Mm-hmm. But it says plans to give you the future you hope for. Okay? So it's important to start dreaming again. So to take the first steps to clarify your vision, you want to spend some time with God, meditate on promises like Jeremiah 29:11. Ask him for direction. Oh, God, what do you want me to do with this year? Where do you see my life going? What do I need to be doing with my time? Then start dreaming again. Give yourself permission to dream. I don't know when the last time was that you did that, but give yourself permission to dream. Get a journal. Sit down quietly with God, your favorite spot in your house, your favorite coffee shop, whatever it is. And I want you to just write them all. Write with wild abandon, okay? Don't think about the logic. Be like a child. As a child, my mom got so much laughter out of me, because one time they asked us in like first grade or something, what do you want to be when you grow up? And all the kids were answering fairly logical answers. And I was like, I would love to be a juggler. And I put that in the banner that they had us make for the class. That does not make any sense now, does it? And thank the Lord I'm not a juggler. So, but my point is, it makes no sense, right?
And this was in her GT class, her gifted and talented class. And so it was just really
the juggler,
cute.
Yeah.
The juggler, yeah.
But it makes no sense, right? But kids don't think logically. They're not thinking analytically. I guess I'm juggling things now. Yeah. Props. But... Don't have any logic. I want you to just open it up, and the first thing that comes to your mind, I'd like to have a chicken farm someday. I'd like to have a red Camaro. I would like new bath towels. I would like to get into medical school. Whatever comes to mind, if it's a dream in your heart, put it on paper. Don't worry about the next step. I just want you to write it down. And I certainly don't want you to get caught up in the question of how. Don't get caught up in the question of how the dream is going to be fulfilled. I want you to just journal it. Just go to town. If it's 300 things, great. Put it all down on paper, okay? So, once you have clarity of your vision, once you have clarity of the dreams and things inside your heart, you need to create a vision board. Now, I know we're already a little bit into this year. I'm actually about to make my personal vision board for 2020. And so since this is, what, February 15th, so my board, if I sit down and complete it this afternoon, my board will go from February 15th of 2020 to February of 2021. It's not like a hardcore, like, December 31st of this year. You just make you a board for the next 12 to 18 months. To give yourself some sort of deadline time frame. So what is a vision board? It's basically just a collage of your dreams and goals for the year and pictures, okay? Because we think with images. We don't imagine, and Terry Savelle talks about this at her conferences, we don't imagine the word cake, C-A-K-E, in our brain. We're picturing our favorite kind of cake. We're picturing if it's, you know, chocolate or vanilla. You get the idea. We see things in our mind. We're visual. God created us that way. So what you can do is, and I have an example here, you can go to Hobby Lobby, Joann's, different places, and you can get these cork boards. They have them in all different sizes. I encourage you, whether it's big or small, make it big enough that you can put your dreams and goals on here for the year. Don't get it so big that you're like, this thing is huge, I'm never gonna hang it up. Pick your size. Pick your board for the type of board that you know, I like that and I'm actually going to hang it up. Because if you don't hang this somewhere where you see it every day, it doesn't do any good for you. Gets left behind in a closet, forgotten, gathers dust, and you come to the end of the year and go, oh, nothing changed. So, what I have on here, this is, we actually taught this class last year, but we did half the class of me teaching on what it is to get a vision, what a vision board is. The second half of the class, we actually made them. But I wanted to take the time this year to just focus on you learning what it is to get a vision, what it is to make one of these, because I want you, and I sense the need for privacy as well. You know, not everybody understands our dreams and our goals. And I wanted you to be able to go home, take your time, make this at your house, get the things that you want, and just really take your time with it. And you don't have to tell anybody about it. If you want to hang it in your closet, there's things on my vision board. There's a reason I didn't bring mine here today. There's things on my vision board, dreams in my heart that I'm not ready to share with everybody yet. And so with that being said, when I made this example last year, the one thing I wish I had done was that, see, and we can pass this around, but I put on here 10 goals. So let's say someone wanted to, my goal is to get into medical school this year, okay? Or I would love, my goal is to save up $200, you know, or $2,000 towards my trip to Hawaii. But yeah, really, $2,000. Yeah. I don't know why I said $200. That would barely pay for your, you know, Starbucks. Okay. You want to get, you believe in God to get engaged. Now that's something, that's a dream in your heart that, you know, a goal is a dream that you have put a deadline on. Okay? It's a dream you've put a deadline to. But if it doesn't occur this year and it's still a dream in your heart, technically it doesn't have a deadline. Keep putting it up in front of you. Keep putting that dream in front of you until it comes to pass. Okay? So it's basically just a cork board, right? And you frame it. You're going to hang it on your wall somewhere that you see every day. Okay? And we're going to talk about more about why you need to see it every day in a little bit. You can do magazine pictures. I know for some of the examples, people in the past, if they had a weight loss goal, they would actually find an old picture of themselves at the weight that they liked being at, and they'll put that on the board, okay? Or like if they had a vision to speak in front of tons of people, you know, thousands of people, they would cut them a picture of themselves out, put it on a stage that they cut out. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So basically, you're gonna put on here images that represent that goal that you're trying to achieve, that dream in your heart, okay? You don't have to number them. I just put the numbers on. It looks cute. But I want you to write next to it, or here, we're going to talk about more about that in a minute. The purpose of this is to keep you, Terry Savelle says, she likes to continue to make vision boards because it keeps her in a continual state of progression. Okay? A continual state of progression. Because it's constantly there. Let's say, like mine, for example, is hung. I hang mine in my closet. So every morning that I'm getting dressed, here's my vision. Here's what I believe in God for. Even if I have a day where my faith is low, I'm discouraged for whatever reason, it's right there. It's right there. It's right there, right in front of my eyes, okay? It's to keep you focused on where you're headed for the year. Because like I said, so many people make dreams and goals at the beginning of the year. By October, if you asked them, what were you hoping to achieve this year? They're like, oh, I don't remember. You gotta keep this in front of you. And at the end of this class, if you have any questions, if I was unclear about any of this and you still have questions about this, we can kind of do some Q&A a little bit. But that's kind of an example board, but it can be any size. It can be, you know, however big you want to make it. Whatever size that you think you'll hang in your house, that's the size you should pick. The idea of picking 7 to 10 goals, it can be 3. You don't have to do 10. You can do 2. You can do 1. But 1 to 10 kind of keeps you focused. If you do more than that, you tend to overwhelm yourself. Yeah. Okay? Let's see. What else? So I like to cut out cardstock and write on there, you know, like, save $200 by March 5th of 2020. Make it very specific. You want to write it specific. And then you can, like, do the double-sided adhesive, stick that next to your picture. That's one way to get it. Because if you try to write directly on the cork board, it won't turn out so well. But you get the idea. You want to write your goals in positives. Like, when I'm not talking, like, in the journal to write down all your dreams, you just pour them in there. Just write them down. You know, just first thing that comes to your head. But when you actually go, if you take the time to make a vision board, to keep your eyes focused on where you're headed for the year, you want to write as specifically as you can, and you want to write in positives. So, not an example of what not to do. I need to lose weight. Don't put that on your board. That is so vague, and vague produces vague results. Okay? Put, I weigh X number of pounds by December 31st. Okay? Not save money for a new car. No. Save $2,000 for red Honda Civic down payment by August 13th, 2020. You know, you see what I'm saying? You want to make it specific. Yeah. Okay? Like we talked about before, hang it where you'll see it every day. It's not a scrapbook. I like to joke, and I can joke about this with Judy because she and I both know this about each other. The perfectionists in the room tend to really, because we want it to make it look good. I took so long. I took so long to eat, like the very first time Natalie and I actually made one together. And we started it together, and we would like gather and like share stickers and different things to put on the board to decorate it. But if you put too many decorations on there, if you take too long to even get started, you might get overwhelmed and walk away. Not perfection, progress, okay? We want you to complete it. If you feel like this is speaking to your heart, this is something to help you, I want you to just complete it. It doesn't have to look perfect. This is to keep you focused so your time and attention for this year is well spent. That's the purpose of making this, okay? So let's say you go home, you take the time to make this, you get your cork board, frame it, write your dreams and goals, you got 7 to 10, you've made your board, what now, okay? Speak to it. Speak to it. God did not walk into the void of nothingness and go, oh, it's dark in here. He did not do that. He did not go, oh, it's dark in here. This is awful. No, he came in and he said, light be. He said, light be, and light was. We're created in his image. like I was talking about earlier, phrases like the struggle is real and all that nonsense. It's funny to laugh about, but really when you think about it, it's not so funny. I used to think it was, it's not so funny. It's so important what we say. And so many times we're headed in a certain direction and we go, oh, I just can't do this. Start with your tongue. Your words are so important. James 3:3-5 in the Message translation says, a bit in the mouth of a horse controls the whole horse. A small rudder on a huge ship in the hands of a skilled captain sets a course in the face of the strongest winds. A word out of your mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. We all know this, right? Life and death are in the power of the tongue. The Bible says that.
Yeah.
It's so important. And I'll just tell you from my own experience, I'm 30 now, but in my early teens and early to mid-20s, and even leading up to 30, I had a very bad habit of I'd start the day and I'd spend time in my Bible and I'd be like, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for helping me pass this college class or whatever it was at the time. And by the end of the day, you know, mood swing, bad traffic, whatever it is, someone said something ugly to you, hurt your feelings, you're down in the dumps, and I would negate and cancel out my positive confession from the morning. I would cancel it out with discouragement and the frustration by the end of the day. I get it. I've done it a million times, and I know that you know what I'm talking about, but it's very important. I believe I'm talking to a group of women that have the power to be mature and to change in that. We have to stop doing that. It's very important for our future. If you get in the elevator, one time Gloria and Kenneth Copeland got in the elevator and they, you know, the door shut and they were having a good conversation and they suddenly realized that the elevator was not moving. And they looked at each other and they looked at the buttons and they realized they had not pushed, they were still on floor one, had not pushed the button. You know where I'm going with this. They had not pushed the button for the floor they needed to go. So they reached over, they pushed the button, and off they went, right? We so often, spiritually, are getting in the elevator. I'm on floor one. What are you doing? Push the button for the floor you want to go to. It's with your words. Mm-hmm. Your faith is activated by your words.
Amen.
Now, you can't just speak to this board and do nothing. You know, for example, I had, I put the little cactus on there. Colton was like, why are cactus? My husband was like, why are cactus on the board? I'm like, well, someone might want to plant a succulent garden in their backyard. And I was like, it's a girl thing. Just stop. And he was like, what's cactus? I was like, just stop. But you, I lost my train of thought with
that.
You can't. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Y'all are just great. Y'all are just so helpful this morning. Yeah. But if I want it on there, thank you, Lord. You're going to help me get the tools I need to plant the succulent garden. And you spoke to it and spoke your scriptures and walk away. It didn't do anything. Obviously, you know, faith and without works is dead. You know, they go hand in hand. But the first call to action is to start focusing on what you believe about yourself. What you believe about what God believes about you. And then I need you to start speaking that out of your mouth. Okay? So you've made your board. You can also, if you've got room on your board, put scriptures that go with your dreams and goals. But if there's not enough room, maybe write them next to your board or stick them in your Bible. But if you go home and you take the time to make this board, go home and then in the morning or whenever you set a same time, a consistent time, whether it's morning, evening, and say, thank you, Jesus. You're helping me to enroll in medical school. You're helping me to save X number of dollars for this. And then speak the scriptures. If you need a faith boost, speak scriptures about God's promises over help. And he wants to help you achieve those things. You have to trust that the Lord is good enough that if those things on that board, you put something on there that's not good enough for you, I believe that he'd speak to you about it. That's not going to happen. He cares about the desires inside your heart, big or small. Big or small. I wanted a French bulldog about 3 years ago. I just couldn't get it out of my head. I just really need one of those silly little dogs. I just couldn't. They're just so funny. And I was obsessed. I just couldn't get out of my head. And so I went and got this, and we talked about this last year a little bit, but I found a little sleeve wallet thing to stick on the back of your phone, and every time I was picking up my phone, I'm seeing this. And it'd remind me, and I'd be like, oh, who can I talk to? Who can I find out that would have a puppy that I can get? But
you got him.
Yeah, and I got him. And he's hilarious. He's just hilarious. And all he cares about is cuddling and eating. That's all he cares about. And he's wonderful. And I had a really rough time this last year. I just had some tough things I was going through. And he's just been my cuddle buddy. God cares about that.
Yes.
That does not affect any kind of ministry for me to have that silly little dog. But he is precious to me. And God sees that as precious. He loves me. And he loves that I love that silly little dog. He cares about those things. It's okay. It's okay. So, again, another scripture about your words, Ephesians 4:29. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Watch the way you talk. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth. Say only what helps, each word a gift."
Amen.
Terry Savelle, she's real silly, and she always says, "Stick the phrase, and that's just the way I like it, at the end of your sentences." Ooh. And if it doesn't sound good, then don't let this sentence come out of your mouth in the first place. "Oh, I'll never finish this job. And that's just the way I like it." If it doesn't fit, don't say it. Just don't. Just don't. I remember being single and thinking, oh, all the fish in the sea are hiding. The good ones, anyway. Only the creepy ones are. I got to a point in my 20s and I was like, where are the good fish? I just could not meet anybody. And I was like, okay, Lord. Okay. And I cannot tell you the number of times I was tempted out of discouragement to say, I guess I'm just never going to get married. I can't tell you the number of times I was tempted, and I sometimes even in tears, but I bit my tongue. I bit my tongue because I wanted to get married. And my husband's wonderful. And he's a gift from God. That's, you gotta watch your words. You know, it's important. So in closing, I just want to say, don't give up on your vision. Don't give up on your dreams. If you didn't get anything out of, I know I've thrown a lot of information your way, but if you didn't get anything else out of what I say, just go home and start dreaming again. Just go home and start dreaming again and believe that God wants more for you than what you have right now. Because you may think, well, Rachel, my life's really good. I'm very blessed. And the Lord appreciates that. We're supposed to be grateful. We're supposed to be thankful for what we have. That's very important. But there's a difference between being grateful and content and complacent. Two very different things. And complacent is dangerous. It's dangerous. So many people, Christians, drifting through life, not really progressing, not growing and maturing in the Lord, not making any headway, not helping progress the kingdom of God because they can't get their personal act together. And they don't believe that God wants more for them than what they have. We should always be growing. We should always be progressing. God wants to His word says, "I thank you, Lord, I prosper, and I'm in perfect health, even as my soul prospers." I don't think that scripture would be in the Bible if God didn't want us to prosper. Amen. Or be in health. Amen. He wants us healthy, and he wants us to prosper. The Lord's... Have faith that God will help you with some of these things, and don't misunderstand me here. I understand. Some of these things, these are hard pills to swallow, to have courage to dream, but have faith that God will help you grasp these concepts. Matthew 9:29 says, "It shall be done to you according to your faith." Right? We got to activate our faith. It takes courage to dream. It takes courage to believe in yourself. Oh, that's okay. Matthew 9:29. No problem. It takes courage to dream. It takes courage to believe in yourself. It takes courage to believe in God's ability to help you. And most importantly, something else that I felt in prayer, I felt like God told me, I was like, what do your daughters need to hear today, God? It's time to dream again, and it's time to let go of the past. I know that's cliche. We hear that a lot, right? But your car going the wrong way, here's the little turtle. He takes a little sign. It's really cute if you ever get a chance to play the game. And he's going, wrong way, wrong way, wrong way. But what's precious is the Lord told me, play the game. When I was preparing and I felt like he began to talk to me about this, he goes, play it again. Because I've played it before. And I said, okay. And I purposely went the wrong way. And I thought, oh, how cute, look at him. Ha ha, wrong way. But I didn't know that he'll actually, if you go the wrong way long enough, he picks up your car and he puts it back on the track. Oh. And he forces you to get back on the track. I believe God's gracious enough to do that with us, don't y'all? Don't you believe that? Amen. He'll help us get back on track. In 2017, my husband and I decided to start family planning. And sorry. I miscarried. And a friend of mine was pregnant at the time. Sorry. And she got to have her baby. And then I got pregnant again. And I miscarried again. And then I miscarried again. And you know what? I had my time of grief. It was hard. It was real hard. I was devastated. Absolutely devastated. But God, David, there's a scripture, and I don't remember where it is in the Bible, but David grieved his wife losing the child. But at some point, he got up, he put his shoulders back, and he washed his face, and he got dressed, and the Bible says he went and he ate. And at some point, the past is hard and we get turned around and it can stun us to where our car is not moving and we're not gaining momentum to go down the track. But we have to keep going. And in order to dream new dreams, you have to let go of what's behind you. Your rearview mirror is small. Looking back, your windshield is huge. There's a reason for that. In the natural and spiritually speaking. Not easy for me to watch my friends, my relatives continue to have children all around me, and for me to get up and look at my board. You know at least one thing that's on my board, don't you? I believe in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm having a baby. Amen. In 2020.
Amen.
It takes courage to dream. It takes courage to say, I'm not going to hinder my dreams. I'm not going to just not dream because of something that's behind me. It takes courage to say, I believe I'm still going to have a child. Amen. I had, in the midst of all the grief of that, I started having a series of very random health issues that were like a spinoff from those things. And then I had eye problems. Yay! So I had to switch jobs, and everyone's going, what's wrong with your eye? What's wrong with your eye? And I was like, just please, leave me alone. But I had this big thing on my eye, and I struggled with eyelid disease for 9 months, off and on, no eye makeup. And I was like, I can't tell you how many times I cried to my husband and my mother. I'm like, I just want my eye makeup. Because I don't like going without my eye makeup. And I got a bad doctor's report regarding all this nonsense about 2 weeks ago. And I thought, well, I'm about to teach a class on getting a vision board. And going on my vision board, I was going to put a picture of myself with my makeup on. And even before I made the board, because I haven't had time to make the board this week, I just in my car began saying, I believe God. I choose to believe the truth of your word and your promises over the facts of my circumstances. We have to believe the truth of God's word over our facts and circumstances. And I just began saying that, you know what? I got a good doctor's report this week, and I have eye makeup on, and I'm so happy about it. And it's over. 9 months of health nonsense, health issues over, praise God.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord.
But what does that tell you? I didn't even get it on my board. I was already just saying positive things over that. That tells you right there the power of positive words.
Amen.
Praise God. Okay, so God wants you healthy. He wants you to prosper. But for you today, if you don't take anything else home, go home and dream. Go home and dream new dreams. See what exciting things God will give you to do. Things that only you can do. And offer this big world that needs to see God in a lot of unique ways. Okay? So go home, dream again. Clarify your vision. Get specific. Make your board. Okay? Pray over it. And speak positive words over it every day. Okay? So let's all stand. I'd like to pray over you. Just a general prayer. That the Lord will just help you begin to dream. And like all my silly Mario examples in here, that he'll begin to show you the tools you need to gain momentum and go flying down the track towards whatever you feel like life has got for you, whatever you feel like God has for you, for your life, okay? So, Father, I just thank you right now for all these women. I thank you for teaching us how to be people of big dreams. Thank you, Lord Jesus. As we begin to dream, we'll realize that we can't accomplish them without you involved. And I thank you, Jesus, for just stirring up dreams in here, stirring up old dreams that were forgotten, and stirring up new dreams for the future, Lord Jesus, that each and every one of us will walk out of here excited about life. Thank you, Father, for all you've called us to. Thank you for giving us the wisdom to accomplish that which you've called us to. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for joining me this morning.